If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
You're listening to the Nintendo PowerCast. Here's your hosts, N64 Josh and Destinot. Welcome to episode 14 of the Nintendo PowerCast. I'm your host, N64 Josh, and I've got my co-host, Destinot. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. Another fun-filled week in Nintendo.
That's right, dude. That's right. We got quite a bit to talk about tonight. I'm looking forward to it. Before I do, I want to let you guys know that this podcast is a product of thelootcave.com, and there you'll find many gaming articles and whatnot, and we are looking for contributors. So if you are interested in writing some blog posts and being able to promote your like YouTube channel or some of the content you create, like hit me up on Twitter at N64Josh or hit up at DestinotTLC, and we can get that conversation started and see if that's something you're interested in. So that's thelootcave.com. Guys, you're going to find all the links that we mention at thelootcave.com/NPC14. We do this show live on Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. Pacific. We know it's live, or we know it's late, and we are sorry about that, but it's just the way it goes. Also, we are going to be recording a Zelda spoiler cast tomorrow, which is Wednesday, with another podcast host named Mark Turcotte, who hosts The Guardian Radio. And I believe it's Paragon Radio is the name of it, but I'm not sure. So he's also a huge Nintendo fan, so it's going to be a lot of fun. With that, let's get into this week's episode. Brian.
Let's get dangerous.
Let's get dangerous. Hey, you know what? That reminds me. We forgot to mention that like last week about the Disney Afternoon Pack or whatever they're calling it. Like, what was it? Tailspin?
DuckTales.
Was DuckTales on there?
Think so. Yeah. Don't quote me.
Yeah, I know the Rescue Rangers were on there.
Yes, yes. Love that game.
Yeah, so a handful of games from back in the NES days. I assume getting a little bit of HD love. They aren't just going to bring those ports right back, I wouldn't think. No news yet if it's coming to the Switch, but it is going to be on the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4. So, you know, those were, I mean, dude, DuckTales, that was my jam. That was my jam back in the day. I never played the sequel either. I wouldn't mind being able to stream that one day. It's a pricey game though. It is definitely pricey. So, but yeah, that's pretty cool. But what games have you been able to pick up this week, or maybe Amiibo or what, you know, whatever?
What's hurt
your wallet this week?
my Amiibo fund has run dry. I won't be picking up any new ones. I want to pick up their, I know that there's three more Amiibo for Legend of Zelda.
Right.
The reason we know this is because if you have the collector's edition, not even the collector's edition, if you have the strategy guide for the game, it mentions three new outfits, and the way you can get them, it says through their corresponding Amiibo. So, and it has been confirmed. Man, I wish I had the link. You look it up on YouTube. Jump on YouTube and type in like Zelda Amiibo hack. Basically, this individual found a way to get the, like, I think it's called like the NPC reader or something like that on the Amiibo.
NFC.
And he scanned it into the Switch using the reader. And he was able to get one of the costumes that we shouldn't have yet because the Amiibo isn't out yet.
Yeah.
So unless he's really, really good with video editing, you know, like he actually got the new content. So yeah, it looks like there's three more amiibo coming out for Legend of Zelda. We'll be able to get content through in Breath of the Wild through those. So I want to pick those up. The other thing that's scaring me is we have Fire Emblem games coming in the near future.
Right.
As far as I know, there's only two Fire Emblem amiibo that are currently going to come out. The very last one for Smash Brothers. What's her name? Corrin?
Corrin, yep.
Corrin. She's slated to come out. And then there's a two-pack.
Yeah.
That you can pre-order right now. That's coming out. But if Fire Emblem pulls this whole Legend of Zelda thing, where even old Fire Emblem figures, and there's like four of them, I believe, or five of them, that you can still find them in the store every once in a while, but on average, they sell for about $20-25 on eBay or Amazon. I'm just afraid if I don't buy them now, I'm going to end up paying through the teeth for them later. Well, when they announce that there's some super happy mega item that you can get.
Right. You can get Lucina at Best Buy right now for $8.
Who is?
Lucina.
Yeah, Lucina you can still find in stores. And for right now, like my local GameStops have a ton of...
Robin?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, Marth is a little tougher to come by. And Roy. Roy was a short run, it seemed like. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember I was like, oh man, here's the new batch. When Roy and Ryu... And I don't remember who the other one was at that time, but I was like, oh, the wife's going to kill me. And, you know, so I went for it. But I barely saw him ever. You know, he was not in the stores very long. Didn't seem like anyway. So,
yeah. If you want to get him on like eBay or Amazon, you're looking at about, I think it's about $100 or a little bit more for the five figures that are basically the Smash series.
Yeah, and you know what's really kind of lame? Like, I recently bought the Animal Crossing villager, right? From Amazon. Made sure it was the US packaging, all that stuff. It was shipped to me and the packaging was trashed.
Ooh.
I'm like, "Well, this is useless." Now, the good thing is I went to Toys R Us the next day after I ordered it and actually found a whole wall of them and was like, whoa, this is crazy, you know? And so, bought a couple of them anyway. All was well. And when I filed a complaint with Amazon, they refunded me my money and told me do whatever you want with the item.
Oh, so well, that's cool.
Yeah.
At least I think that's really cool of them to do that, being that it's these type of items. A lot of people don't take them out of the package.
Right.
They're not only are they buying it for the actual figure inside, but for the package as well. So it's glad to see like, well, was the actual figure damaged? You could be like, well, no. They could have probably been like, well, who cares? The box got damaged. You know, that happens in transit sometimes.
Oh, speaking of, dude, I sold a handful of Zelda amiibo on eBay. Mm-hmm. Very small markup because I really don't like scalping. In fact, I think I lost money because shipping the Guardians was way more than I thought it was going to be.
Ouch.
And dude, one of the guys got one and the box looked like it had been run over. I was
my gosh.
It was a brand new box when we sent it and it looked like it was run over. And thankfully I was like, hey, look, I would be just as angry as you if this happened to me. So obviously I don't have a second one. Like I can't send you a new one.
Yeah,
there was insurance on the packaging, like contact eBay and I'll do whatever I need to do on my end to make sure, you know, supply any receipts or whatever so that everything gets, and they were very understanding and it worked out. It was good.
Yeah,
but it was just kind of like,
man. That sucks with collectibles though. You know, like sometimes it might be hard to get it. Like you said, you can't supply another one.
No, I mean, I've seen a couple of them since, yeah. But like,
what are you supposed to tell this guy? They're like, hey bro, I'm going to go to Toys R Us right now. I'll see if I can find you another one. Yeah. Like, that's hard, you know?
Yeah, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not selling, I'm like, forget it. I'm not doing it. It's not worth it. So,
but yeah, the amiibo pool is currently tapped. It's dry. It's not going to be filled back up till the summertime.
Your Twitter Epic Amiibo's back up, isn't it?
Yeah, I posted a
picture of the link.
Wolf link. If you go to @EpicAmiibo on Twitter, I got to do a Ganon picture, and that'll cover the originals. But then, hey, we got this whole slew of Zelda out now. That whole Twitter site was supposed to be all Amiibo, not just Zelda. I had just started with Zelda because I was like, hey, these are the cool ones that I really like.
Yeah.
I need to get some more flashlights, though. When I was making those pictures, I was using like iPhone lights and flashlights. I think I used you even did it for one of your pictures. I used the Wii U screen as a light source.
Nice, dude. Like, that's awesome.
So maybe I'll have to use the Switch as a light source now.
That bright white, it's pretty bright.
Yeah. It's like doubling your light size too, because it's like 6.2 inches of glorious light. No Amiibo, but I picked up two games that I don't think we talked about last week. I think we talked about them, but I hadn't picked up Binding of Isaac yet.
Okay.
And I had just picked up Has-Been Heroes. Of the two games, the one that's hooked me the most is the Has-Been Heroes.
Okay.
I think we talked briefly. It's like the rogue style game where the point of the game is not to start it and progress through like a story. There's no like point A to point B. Basically, the game is so brutally hard that you play it, you get some coins, you get some keys, you're gonna die. Then you start over and you do it again. You learn from your mistakes. It's kind of like a 2D version of Dark Souls, you know.
When you say that, like, what does it play like? Is it I heard it's like a lane, like it plays like everything's in a lane. So
is
there a game you can compare it to? Because I'm not sure I'm real familiar with that style of play.
I don't know if you've ever played, and I haven't. This is only off of what I've heard, MOBAs, where you have like lanes of play. There's like a left lane, a right lane, and a middle lane. And so, like, you have to kind of like, imagine it this way. I don't know if I can really compare it to another style of game that I've played. I'm sure they're out there. Maybe if you're in the chat or want to hit us up on Twitter and let us know of other games that are like this. You've played Advanced Wars, mm-hmm. right? It's got that side view of like you versus another like opponent, and it's like a side view, and I'm talking like when you're in the battle screen of Advanced Wars, not the actual movement screen.
Sure, I got you.
The battle screen, it's got like that side view. So imagine this. You got three heroes, top, middle, and bottom of the screen. And let me one better this, because I just thought of a game that is almost perfect for what I'm about to describe. The original Plants vs. Zombies.
Okay, there you go. Okay, right. So, somebody did mention that, and that helped me kind of picture this game. I need to watch a video or something. I haven't yet. But
whereas Plants vs. Zombies had like multiple lanes, I want to say there was like six or eight, or it was quite a few. You weren't just dealing with like a handful. This has three lanes, and the enemies will come from the right side of the screen and go to the left side of the screen. Now, what you have is you have three heroes, one in each lane, and it's kind of like it's not a real time strategy game. It's almost like the game will pause, or you can manually pause it. So you can kind of look and see, ooh, which lane is getting clogged with enemies. You can then like select that lane and attack with your hero. The game will then pause. You can then swap another hero into that lane to attack, because each one of your heroes has a cooldown period, so you can't just spam attacks with one hero like the whole time. You have to kind of be like, "Ooh, I just used him, let me swap one of the heroes out and he'll attack, and then I'll swap another hero in there and he can attack. Okay, cool, the lane's like clear now." So that's like the strategy element up to it.
So is this like a bite-sized game? Like, is this the kind of thing like you could play for 10 minutes, or you could binge on it for a while if you wanted to?
Oh, definitely. I think it lends itself well to the mobile platform in that respect, because like I said, you could play it, you're going to play it, and you're going to die, you know? So that, bam, you could put the game down at that point. You'd be like, all right, cool. I played it for a little bit. I'm going to put it down. I'll play it, take it in tomorrow. You know, the real fun for me though comes in, ooh, okay, I died. What can I do differently next time? For me to really describe this, it's, I don't know, I guess it's kind of hard for me. Cause like, I think a video, it's better seen in action than me like explaining it in words. But I really like it because of that, where it's like, ooh, what did I do wrong there? Oh, or, oh, I saw what I did wrong there. What can I do next time to better it? So that's why but it's pretty unforgiving in that respect, where this is not a game. If you're like, I want to sit back and play some game, get some story, get a couple cutscenes, you know, play through some levels, you know, it's definitely not that game.
Does it kind of, is it kind of in the vein of like a tower defense game a little bit? Like you're trying to stop do the things try to go through you to get past you? They're just trying to kill you.
Yeah. Once they kill, and that's the thing. If you lose one hero, boom, game over. Okay. It's not like, oh, one of my lanes went down. Can I make it with my remaining two? It doesn't work that way. Yeah. You lose one, you're done. Like I said, it's very unforgiving. It's kind of brutal in that aspect.
Is this GameStop exclusive? I know they published this game.
Don't think it's exclusive. I mean, I picked mine up at GameStop.
We can probably get it anywhere, though. I was just curious.
Yeah, in fact, I think I've seen it on Amazon. I'm going to bring that up real quick. But yeah, it is published by Amazon. GameStop? They didn't actually make it. Amazon, GameStop.
It's all the same.
Give it 10 years, it'll be all the same. Everyone will, one company will own it. Johnson & Johnson will own everything. So, yeah, let's see. It has been Heroes. It pops up like right away on Amazon. Okay. I don't recommend buying it on Amazon because it's selling for $46.
Yikes, dude. It's like a $19.99 game, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Go to GameStop. Pick it up at GameStop.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, that's the other thing. It's not an expensive game. It's got flash quality graphics, I'd say, you know.
Okay.
They're not super detailed. They're very, it's a hand drawn art style. I would definitely say this game is worth $20, but not more than that. I got really disappointed. Did we talk about this last time? Did I talk about the case that this game comes in?
No, I mean, I know it's just a regular Switch case, which is a ton of plastic to hold a little cart.
Yeah, so I'm gonna hold it up a little bit. So here's Zelda, Breath of the Wild, right? You know, you open this thing up. You're like, oh, I got some artwork on the inside. Cool. It was weird, though, because like you said, the game is like right here. This is it. This is the game size. And you got all this, you know?
Yeah.
And then you get some artwork on the back. There's no manual in Zelda, you know? That's kind of a shame. But then you got Has-Been Heroes, right? And you're like, sweet. No, I'm holding this up for you guys that are just listening. But it's the box. It's okay. I open this thing up, and it's like, boom.
Bright white.
Straight up, like, white. Just white inside. Like, apparently, the other $20 gets you inside artwork, you know?
Get your art on both sides of the paper.
Yeah. So this is super, like, okay, this thing is $20. You know, this is $20. No more, no less, you know? But you can pick it up digitally. This is a game where if you're like, should I pick it up digitally? Should I pick it up physically? I picked it up physically. Josh and I kind of like both like those type of things. But you're not losing out getting this thing digitally. Whereas Binding of Isaac, which is the other game I picked up, that game is like similar style. And it's similar, but not. It's similar in that you're going to die a lot in this game. You can go through it. You're going to die. You jump back in, and it's a different level, though. It'll be different each time. It's kind of like random. But these are like original Zelda, Legend of Zelda, top-down dungeons going through, clearing the room, and then like the door will open. You can go into the next room. So it's almost like if Legend of Zelda were like an M-rated title. Okay. That's what I describe Binding of Isaac. And you can get a lot of power-ups like... instead of attacking with a sword, you attack with your tears. yeah. You can also get like this radioactive upgrade. Like my tears were green for a while. I had like this skull on top of my head shooting. I had a fly following me around, helping me out. It's very dark. It's supposed to be like basically the game starts off, you know, somebody wants Isaac dead. Isaac jumps down a trap door in his room. Now you're in a dungeon. Not super detailed story, but hey, there's your story.
I like how you said someone because of how dark it is.
Well, you know, I don't want to spoil anything.
Right.
Someone wants him dead.
Yeah. Yikes.
Again, I talked about the case for it. Like, okay, so here's the Binding of Isaac case. You know, for those of you on the radio, I'm holding this thing up. It's got a back cover. And I bust this thing open. It's got a reversible cover. So not just artwork on the inside. You can take this off, flip it around. And because the cover we get for the Nintendo Switch version, it's a little bit more painterly. You know, it looks like someone commissioned it. Whereas the one on the inside that you can flip around looks like, okay, this is like the original low budget, you know, artwork. Inside, you also get stickers, you know, in case you're into that. And then you get this is like my favorite part of it. You get this like Legend of Zelda style art book. It's got like that, not quite gold foil.
Yeah.
But it is kind of reflective. You look at the first page, it's got it's not Nintendo's seal of approval. It's the company that makes the game's seal of approval. And then the inside looks exactly like the Legend of Zelda. You got a little bit of like hand-drawn story in there.
Sure.
It talks about characters. The whole thing is like just a throwback to like the Legend of Zelda book that comes with your original NES cart. So this one, $40. You can also pick this one up digitally, but this one I highly recommend you pick up the physical copy of just because of the extra goodies. And I think down the road, this one might actually be worth a little bit of money. Just because of this package. From what I understand, this is the first physical copy that you can get of Binding of Isaac. Everything else has been like digital download.
Yeah, and it's worth noting too, it's an M-rated game.
Yeah, one of few on a Nintendo system.
Yeah, so, and we're actually going to do, that's going to be one of our topics here coming up very soon. I'm working on, or going to start working on a post on the lootcave.com about Nintendo's M-rated games, and we're going to kind of look at how well they've sold, and is it worth, you know, having more M-rated games for the Switch and that kind of stuff. So it'll be a fun conversation. But so you recommend both those games?
I do. Like I said, the Binding of Isaac, it's fun, but it hasn't pulled me in the way it has been Heroes has. I think Has Been Heroes, if you're into like the Dark Souls style game, you're gonna like that style game also, where it's kind of about figuring it out, knowing that you're gonna die, knowing that it's not just a walk in the park. I'm playing it for the story type of game. Binding of Isaac is also that style. Binding of Isaac, the I would say if you like Smash TV.
Okay.
Because it's got the same kind of style of controls where you can run one way and shoot in the opposite direction.
Oh, like a twin stick shooter kind of.
Exactly. It's like that. You actually you can use the joystick or the buttons to shoot in those directions. Like you use the four buttons to pick which four directions you want to shoot in.
Yeah. That's how Blaster Master is too. You can use the buttons as a D-pad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, whatever. I recommend getting that one too. This is the first time I've played Binding of Isaac. From what I understand, if you played another version, it's the same thing. So if you've already played this, I would say, unless you really want it on the go, there wouldn't really be a reason to pick it up. But if you pick it up, get the physical version because it's the same price and you get all those little cool goodies that I think down the road, if you're a collector, definitely worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, very cool, man. Very cool. So I had a very exciting week. So I played, I've been working a lot. I've been working more than normal. We are also covering Destiny 2 quite extensively right now. So there's been a lot of posts on the site about that, trying to get some Nintendo posts up as well. And it's been bonkers. And just my normal job, like I've been working a lot. I've been doing about 11 hours a day. And so, So I'm busy, but let's rewind last week a little bit. Obviously played some Zelda. It was a good time for sure. Really enjoying that. Got a little deeper into Blaster Master Zero, which I'm really, really enjoying. Like, I'm really enjoying that game. And the other thing that we did that, bro, if you have the opportunity to get an extra set of Joy-Cons or you end up getting the wife a Switch, get Snipper Clips. Get four people together. I don't even care if it's just your parents or something that you can play this game with. I kid you not, man. My 16-year-old who loves like Call of Duty and he's playing Rainbow Six Siege right now with my other son, sit them down and hand them a Joy-Con and let them play Snipper Clips. Dude, it was all over. Like, literally, I let them play it on Sunday, and Monday they were like, hey, can we do this again? Hey, can we do this again? Like, they loved it. So that's been crazy. And so, I think I mentioned that last week, but what happened this week, dude, last Thursday was nuts. It was nuts for us and Nintendo stuff. So let's see, Wednesday, I'm going to go back to Wednesday. Best Buy had Switches and NES Classics.
Yeah,
and you guys know I've been looking for an NES Classic. I've been trying to get one. And I was on the site for 40 minutes. Like, I'm trying to work and trying to purchase this thing, and I got all the way to proceed to checkout or like process payment. I kept hitting it and I would get a weird error. hit it, weird error, you know, whatever. Finally, I'm like, okay, it's giving me a different error now, so I need to go and check that out, go back, and then try to get it gone. You know, and I had tried earlier, and then you posted in the Discord, try again, you know?
Yeah, because they came back up. I got to the cart. It had my shipping information.
Yeah.
I've got, like, whatever Best Buy's version of Prime is, you know, where I don't even have to load my credit card or anything. Like, I'm in the system.
Right.
And it just giving me the spinning wheel of death.
Yeah. So we did that. But one of the listeners of the show and a good friend of mine who was on here a few episodes ago, you guys will know him as I Hate My Life 04. He was able to get one. He posted in our Discord. I was on there for 44 minutes and I finally got one, but he's still waiting to see if it actually shows up. Right. Cause he's unsure. So both my wife and I are trying the Wi-Fi at our work is terrible. And so we just, it was a no go. It was really disappointing, really bummed out because we just really, really wanted this thing. And so, now let's fast forward to Thursday. At noon, Amazon had, I just happened to go on Twitter and somebody posted, hey, there's Switches on Amazon right now. My son he saved his birthday and Christmas money and was like, I want to get one, you know? So I had enough time to text him, hey, they only have gray. Do you want it? He said, yes. I swiped, one day shipping, boom. Got another Switch. Okay, so it was here nice. Friday. Now, that was cool. We also got the Destiny 2 trailer on Thursday. So I asked my wife, hey, will you go to GameStop, pre-order me that game, pre-order two copies so that you can get the little statue for myself and for my son. She goes, gets the statues, whatever, and then I don't get home until 5 o'clock that night. I end up working later than normal. And I get home, I clean up, I go sit down, getting ready to eat dinner. And my wife's like, oh, I got to use the restroom. I'm like, oh, whatever. Okay. You know, and I'm clearing notifications on my phone and I get a tweet from her with a selfie of her with the NES Classic box, and I am so confused, right? Because she doesn't use Twitter hardly ever, for one. And then two, I'm like, how does she have a picture of herself with this thing? Like, I literally had no clue. I was so confused. I'm like, is this old? Is this new? What is, like, I had no idea. And she comes out of the bathroom because she was just in there hiding, tweeting at me. She wasn't, you know, that was it. And so
as one would.
Yeah, you know. Of course. And because it's literally right by our living room. And so she comes out and she's like kind of looking at me and I'm looking at her and I'm like, I don't understand what this is. Like, I finally got it open and I'm like, and her tweet said, how to surprise N64 Josh with an NES Classic on Twitter. And I was like, what? You know what? And she's like, yeah, here you go. Goes into her craft room and hands me the NES Classic. When she was in GameStop in line, she looked up and there was one in there. And she asked the guy, she's like, oh, is that just an empty box? And he goes, no, it was some fluke thing. We actually had one shipped to us and it's for sale. So she buys it.
Wow.
And all the kids are stoked. Everybody's stoked. Like, this was one of those things like we've been hunting for, you know, like, and so it was just really cool. The kids were stoked and everything. Like I said, it was a good time. So we go out that night to Best Buy to try to find, I want to find a first party player too, right? First party, second controller. They're nowhere to be found. And they're like $40 on eBay or stuff. I'm like, I'm not.
Wow. Doing that.
So Best Buy has some off brand. It looks like everything's the same. And I have a whole bunch of old NES controllers. So I'm just going to take one apart and put all Nintendo parts on the new circuit board.
Okay.
I'm in Best Buy talking to the checker as I'm purchasing stuff. And he's like, yeah, GameStop had one of the NES classics today. And my buddy works over there and they're not allowed to purchase it until after they're off the clock. So they just put it up on the shelf, hoping nobody would notice, but somebody bought it.
You're like, yes, that, they did. Someone did.
Who has two thumbs and bought that NES classic? This guy. So just super cool. Played the game with my kid, played some of the games with the kids, you know. I mean, it's so silly. I own most of those games already, like in one, some of them in multiple iterations, right? Like, I went on, dude, so one of the games I played,
but did it feel new though?
Oh, it felt great, man. It felt great. Like, I woke up Saturday morning, pulled a portable cereal and literally sat down and played like Castlevania. And I've actually never played Castlevania. So
what?
Like, yeah, never.
I've at least played it. Yeah. Jeez. I mean, I haven't beat it.
I mean, I've swung the whip, you know, I'm sure, like, but as far as like, I couldn't tell you which one. And so like jumping into Ninja Gaiden, whatever, however you like to say it. Yeah. Playing a little bit of that game's tough, bro. Those games are so brutal. Doing Double Dragon with my son, and he's like, they're like, the helicopter escaped, grasp, and it shows a hand like grabbing the ladder. He's like, is this for real? Like, you really thought this was great? I'm just like, shut up, boy,
shut your mouth.
Yeah, the best though was playing Super C, and you know, we're playing through, he's just getting destroyed. And I'm like dodging bullets and jumping over dudes and doing flips. And he's like, oh my gosh, he kept saying, you're going ham on all this stuff. And I'm like, I don't even know what that means. I'm so old, but you know, that's great.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
And so he was just like, I can't believe how well you're playing this. But I mean, you know, that's, we're old. We had to play the games that were hard. We didn't need those twin sticks. All we needed was a D-pad and two buttons. We were good to go. But it was just funny, like, awesome. Double Dragon, you know, like, you go to, I'm like, can you walk here? We both fall off and die. It's like, ah, there goes another life. They're just so unforgiving. But then I sat down that night after the kids went to bed and played like Balloon Fight with the wife. She had never played Balloon Fight. And so, you know, as cheesy as that game is, we had a really good time.
Cool.
And then we played Dr. Mario and she beat me. I was like, oh no. But you know, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. Even just
never,
you know,
to be lived down.
Right. Right. Just doing the Mario games and stuff. It's a really cool little package. You know, I played some Donkey Kong and Pac-Man and everything, and just it's a pretty cool package. Of course, there could be other games that I would like to have seen on there and that kind of stuff. But I mean, for what it is and able to get it for the regular price of $60, I was like, this is rad. The thing is so tiny and so lightweight, it's crazy. But anyway, that took a lot of time, but it was. It really, like, we got a Switch that day and an NES Classic, and it was just really, really cool, especially after the letdown of Wednesday trying to get a hold of one. But Moving right along, and like I said, as far as games I played, it's pretty much been Zelda. I did a little bit of Animal Crossing on the GameCube, which was hilarious because one of the animals I talked to was like, I figured you had racked up so much debt you had to leave or something like that. He's like, I thought debt collectors were after you.
Years.
Yeah, it was like 66 weeks or something. Oh. It was, and before that was funny. They were like, before that I was like, literally years. And they were like, were you in jail this whole time? Is that why you haven't come to see us? But,
I think that's amazing if someone actually went to jail and came back into play it. And it's like, did you go to jail? Probably be like, they're watching me still. I can't do this.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I did want to mention two other games that, one of the mods from our chat, Drummer, got Nintendo Land, which I have digitally, but I wanted it a physical copy for the Wii U. And he also got me The Devil's Third, which is another M-rated game. So that's kind of what's fueling this fire to kind of talk about these M-rated Nintendo games and see how they do. But I do want to mention before we get any further into the conversation here, we're doing a Mario Kart 8 Deluxe giveaway. If you go to the pinned tweet on at N64Josh or at NPowerCast, you will see all the rules there. So just go check that out. There's a handful of ways to enter. And so go do that and good luck. Hopefully you'll be the winner. These Neo Geo titles have come out on the Switch and I've yet to pick one up. They're decently priced. They're about $8. But I haven't had any that I'm really like that are tugging on those nostalgia strings, right?
Yeah.
Like none of it really does. And so, but I saw either today or yesterday, they're releasing Samurai Showdown. And I love that game.
Loved it in the arcade.
Yeah. The thing that has me concerned, and I actually tried it this weekend because I also played some Super Street Fighter 2. I have it on my 3DS. And I tried playing with the little slide analog stick or whatever they call that, right? Yeah. It's so much easier with a D-pad to play fighting games. So like Street Fighter 2 is coming out, the Samurai Showdown, there's King of Fighters. That's my biggest concern with playing some of these games is not having a D-pad. Now, I'm fortunate enough to have a pro controller, but as far as playing on the go, like, This is gonna take some getting used to. I mean, is it gonna be an issue for you, do you think, playing with the analog stick versus having a D-pad for some of the fighting games and maybe even some retro games once they start coming out, like some of the classic Nintendo games?
Yeah. First off, the D-pad on the Pro Controller is phenomenal. It's right up there with, I would say, like the Super Nintendo D-pad. It's the quality of a D-pad I expect from Nintendo. Like you said, it's not on the Joy-Cons. I've played some Street Fighter games over the years. Like I think I had a version of it on the PS3. I had a version like Street Fighter 4 on Xbox. The controller, in my mind, when I first bought these, I'm like, oh, cool. I basically got like a mini joystick here. I can just play like a joystick, like I would in the arcade. Dude, it's not the same. It is not the same.
No.
That being said, I know we have little Joy-Cons with joystick controllers, but what if you're like, if you want to play multiplayer, you have to use the joystick. You can't use the D-pad. Because the D-pad is now your four-button controller. Mm-hmm. On the flip side, if I want to play it single-player or maybe online, I don't have a D-pad. I've got four buttons. The other day, I tried to pull off, you know, hypothetically, because obviously I don't have a Street Fighter game to play this on yet. I tried to pull off, like, you know, in my head, I'm like, okay, how would I do a fireball? Because that's a rolling motion. Mm-hmm. It didn't feel good. That's all I know. I didn't like the way it felt at all. So I'm like, I don't know how this is going to work out playing this as in handheld mode.
It's going to be interesting.
I don't know. Like I see myself, I'm usually a I don't know, a docked player. I don't know. We're gonna start segregating each other. Watch. Oh, you're a handhelder. Freaking milk drinking handholder. You know, I don't know. Yeah, so I play docked mainly, so I guess I have that option of using the D-pad on the Pro Controller. But I don't know. I don't know how that's going to go. Maybe, because it looks like we're getting a lot of products from Hori. They seem to be Nintendo's go-to third party. They made like they're making the network adapter. They're going to be making I think a Pro Controller that's not, it's going to be like they make a lot of officially licensed products.
It's like a wired Pro Nintendo controller or something, right?
Something like that, yeah. They did this back of the Wii U. They made the Pokken tournament controllers.
Right.
So, and those, I thought those were good quality controllers. Maybe they're going to come out with a Pro Controller, or I don't know, because the only thing that solves is docked mode. That does nothing for handheld mode. But maybe they're going to make little mini Pokken tournament controllers, you know, that have a good D-pad on them, but no joystick that you could play Street Fighter 2 with, or these other fighting games on Neo Geo. I would gladly give up the joystick if you don't need it for these type of games, you know, and take a good solid D-pad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that could be an option maybe. I don't know.
They could make a left and right D-pad or a left and right Joy-Con that have D-pads instead of analog sticks, you know?
Yeah.
That would be the solution, but that's an $80 solution.
Well, hopefully this is me crossing my finger. We're talking hypotheticals anyways, right now. Anyways, you know, what if they took out HD Rumble, put in just normal Rumble, or took out Rumble altogether? Nah, that would kind of suck. But hey, we've had no Rumble for, well, you and I have owned a lot of controllers that don't have Rumble in them, you know, just from going way back. If these are retro games, hey, let's play them retro, you know. What's this Rumble you speak of?
Right.
I wouldn't mind a little Joy-Con that instead of a joystick had a D-pad and then my four buttons on it. I think that could be really cool. Even if it was only for like the fighting games. I don't know. That's how the Hori Pokken tournament controller was. You could only use it for Pokken tournament. But hey, I don't know. I would personally buy it because I'm not a huge fighting game fan overall. I don't love tons of fighting games, but I do love Street Fighter 2. I would get a third party controller just for playing Street Fighter 2.
And it's mainly, I mean, we have the Pro Controller, right? But it's for that sitting down in the bar and playing against somebody. Or I love that your wife is asking you if you want food in the chat. Like, that is the best thing ever.
How we do.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. Hello, Mrs. Destinat.
Hello.
Welcome. And she likes Street Fighter 2. There you go. So, and that was with Tua.
Yeah. Two also, not Street Fighter 2. She likes the original also.
Right.
The one with Birdie.
There you go. But I mean,
I wouldn't mind a controller.
It would really be for that on like just playing together split screen, right? You know, or it's not split screen if it's Street Fighter, but the other thing is if you make a Joy-Con that takes away the stick and adds a D-pad, that thing is now a Super Nintendo controller. It's got four buttons and two shoulder buttons, and you're good to go. I mean, that's literally what it is. It's a Super Nintendo controller, which that would take care of every one of your retro games to the entire NES library and the Super Nintendo library, if they, you know, depending on what they release. So, you know, again, it's a pricey thing, but if I think there's a number of us out there that would want it. And, you know, if you guys are just watching this on YouTube, or if you go to thelootcave.com/NPC14, let us know in the comments, like, is that something you would want? Would you want Joy-Cons that have D-pads on them? Is that something you would pay for? You know,
I would. Because if it replaced the joysticks and put D-pads on, boom, that solves the portability issue. I can now play this portably with the D-pad.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it worked just for this game, or maybe it could work for other games that didn't necessarily need the joystick, you know, that might require people to go back and, like, you know, patch their games. Games like The Binding of Isaac that I talked about, you know, I can see that being played on a D-pad. Has-Been Heroes. You don't need a D-pad. D-pad would work for that game. I think a lot of these third-party games that we're getting, I think, could probably be played fine with a D-pad.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just, I mean, like, even, like, Blaster Master, right? I mean, it's basically a D-pad game. You could play it just fine using the buttons as a D-pad. That's what I found out. So, it's definitely an interesting conversation. I mean, maybe they've really programmed this Street Fighter to play well with analog sticks, right? We don't know.
Yeah, I think.
But I think it's going to be tough, personally.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, we went on a major tangent with the D-pads, but the Neo Geo titles, are there any that if interest you that you think you're going to pick up?
Oh, heck yeah. In fact, I didn't even see that Samurai Showdown got put out. I'm now definitely picking that up.
It was announced for the Europe shop or something like that. It's not, we don't quite have it yet in the States, but you know, if you have,
hopefully it comes over, because they did that with the Japanese titles. They were in the Japanese eShop like 2 weeks before in the US eShop, but then we ended up getting them all. So hopefully that's, you know, it comes over. I would get it though.
Yeah. What about like Metal Slug, that kind of stuff? Like, I like those kind of arcadey shooters. I'm just going, am I going to play this that much? You know, like, I don't know. As much as we've been playing Snipper Clips and still playing a ton of Zelda, I kind of want to just make sure. I have such a massive backlog of games that I just want to make sure I'm buying games that I'm going to be playing, right? Because there's not a good reason for me to collect these games digitally if it's going to be like, oh, I played it once. And I mean, I've done that with the Wii U. I have such a huge library of digital games that I don't really touch, but like, I started organizing them and all this stuff. I'm like, what is wrong with me? I'm literally paying for these games just to look at them, and I don't ever play them. You know, that's just not.
I will say this game. This is what's nice about the Switch, and both of us only have a handful of games, but hopefully they continue this trend. It looks like you can just pause this thing whenever. You know, you don't have to get to a save point. You don't have to, you know, manually save the game. You could literally hit the power button, tap it, and shut this thing down, and it's going to save your game right there. You know? So what I think is cool is the fighting games, no big deal, you know, unless you're playing like the story mode type of thing. But, you know, like Metal Slug. If I'm playing through Metal Slug and I'm like sitting in a doctor's office, or I usually don't take my Switch to like doctor's offices or something like that. But if you're somewhere playing this thing and you need to stop right then and there what you're doing and like go off and do something else, you could pause Metal Slug, you know, like you can't do that in the arcade.
Right.
You can't just like, and I don't even know about some of the console versions of these games, if you can even just pause this thing mid game and go about your day.
You may be able to pause, but you better leave the system on.
Yeah, you better leave it on. Like
somebody doesn't hit reset or what, you know.
Yeah, so that part about it, I think, is cool. To actually have Metal, because I loved Metal Slug in the arcade. I don't think I've ever even played 3. They look very similar to me, so I'm assuming it's like slightly updated graphics and you know different levels, but. Metal Slug, I would pick up, and Samurai Showdown. Some of the other ones, like I remember, like King of the Fighter and all that stuff, but I don't really play them, so there's no like nostalgia tied to them. Like you said, they're just digital. Luckily, they're only $7.99. If you want to pick up a Neo Geo and an actual game cart of like King of Fighters or something, you might pay $799 for that thing. So, some Neo Geos might just have never been in the hands of people ever. A lot of people probably never had the home console version of Neo Geo, so I think that's cool that they even offer them. Yeah, I'm all for them. I do wish there was, like, I would pay for a physical cart of these games. So I wish they came out that route. I think this is the only way we're going to be able to play some of these games, though. So I will be picking up a handful. But like you said, we started talking like fighting games. Street Fighter 2 is what I'm really waiting for.
Yeah.
And I love that it's Street Fighter 2 and not like Street Fighter 5 or 4. It's side-scrolling remastered Street Fighter 2.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a blast, dude. It's going to be a blast. So, and I can't wait to go head-to-head. Like, oh, dude, think about on the Guardian Con, man. We're going to...
Will it be out by then? It'll be out by then.
Yeah, it's coming out in May.
Oh, will it? Oh, you got me where I'm sweating right now. You got me worried. Like, ooh.
Yeah, it'll be out in May, dude. So that'll be, it's like May 24th or something like that. So,
okay, we're good then. We're good.
We're good. We're good. We have a ton of things to talk about, but we're just about to hit that hour mark. One of the things I want to just quickly touch on is Anuma has stated that, the open world Zelda will be the new standard. That's fine. I personally would like to see them go between the two. I would like to see more like the I would like to see a Link to the Past style game again, at least like on a, you know, if the DS or if they, we don't know what's going to happen. I have very few complaints with Breath of the Wild. And as long as they can keep innovating and keep being creative and giving us plenty to do, that's fine. Like, I like this. I'm still finding areas I've never been to, right? Mm-hmm. I'm still like, all I've been doing is hunting shrines, and I'm on like, I have 79 of them so far, you know?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I'm loving that aspect of it, but how do you feel about that? Like,
I have mixed feelings on that. Reason being, okay, so this game obviously is a breakout success, you know, for multiple reasons. It's kind of like the big AAA title on the Switch, a brand new console. It's kind of like the go-to game. Like, hey guys, if you're getting a Switch, you need to get Breath of the Wild. If you got a Wii U and, you know, you want to get a game for the Wii U and justify your purchase, get Breath of the Wild. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It's an amazing game. I've got almost 150 hours into it. I've played a lot of it. I like it. For them to say though that going forward, this is like, okay guys, this is the formula. We've cracked the code. This is what sells. We're gonna make all Zeldas going forward this. And I'm not gonna quote this guy and be like, he said going forward, this is the only, like, you know, this is what Zelda is from now on forever. They're never gonna change. From now on, every single game will be Breath of the Wild with a new title slapped on it. I'm assuming he means, hey, this one did really well. That means the next game will probably be this style. You know, count on it being this style. I just hope they don't fall into the trap of hey, this is what sold. This is what people want, obviously, because they voted with their wallets. We're not going to deviate from this. Every single game will be on a rigid structure of this, and we're going to come out with a new game every year. Assassin's Creed. Call of Duty. Excuse me. I just hope they don't get locked into that formula. Obviously, if the next Zelda comes out and it's basically Breath of the Wild 2, and it, I'm not going to use the word fails, but doesn't live up to their expectations. I don't know. I hope they don't just keep pumping the franchise for, you know, because that was, well, that, in my opinion, that's what was cool about the Zelda games. They're not exactly the same every single time, you know? Yes and no, I guess you could say. Like,
yeah, it's kind of like, oh, you got to go. You have to have the hook shot to do this.
Well, or
you
the have mechanics,
to have the bomb to do this. You know, that's what I feel like they kind of got
away. They didn't fall into that trap. I agree with that. But as far as like, look at the difference in games and like the art styles. You know, obviously early on they were very pixelated. You can't do a lot with detail. But then they went to like Cartoon Link, you know, with Wind Waker. And then they went to kind of like a painter style with Skyward Sword. This current Zelda is very like anime looking in a sense, you know? So at least they've kept it fresh visually. So I don't know. I wouldn't mind them going back to like a standard Zelda in a sense, you know, like kind of a little bit more restricted. I would like them to learn from this and combine the two now.
Yeah, I mean, let's look a little bit at like the track record of Nintendo. The last game that they put out that was that got tens or
close to it, yeah.
Very high nines. Not the last one, but like one of the things that happened with one of the last ones, which was on the Wii, was Super Mario Galaxy. It was one of the rare times that we saw a sequel that was
a
direct sequel, because all the assets were there and they're like, look, everybody's loving this, like why not? So I mean, we know we're getting DLC in December, but what if like in a year and a half or 2 years we had a whole another Zelda game because they still have the assets, and then from that point we don't see it again for another like 7 years.
Dude, do you want to hear the rumor that I heard when the next Zelda's coming out?
Yeah.
2020.
So,
yeah.
3 years?
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
That was from good old Ashley on the Know.
Huh.
You look at their most recent video, they talk about it. And that's where I also heard, like you said, you mentioned that going forward, this is what Zelda's going to be. The open world. I if anything would like to see a little bit more tighter story, because I do feel like this was the game that was kind of like, here's Zelda, here's everything, just go for it. If you were to play the actual story missions of this game, it's very short.
Yeah,
I understand that's not the point of the game. The point is to go anywhere, do anything. That's why I say I would like to see a blending of the two, maybe a little bit tighter story but very open environments.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I love the game. I'm stoked for the direction. I would be cool with it staying like this for a while, but I don't want them to fall in another rut where it's like, oh, we have 18 Zelda games and 17 of them minus Majora's Mask are basically the same thing with a different skin. You know, A Link Between Worlds tried to break that mold, but in doing so almost made the game too easy. And so, you know, just keep innovating. And it's Nintendo. They're not going to stop. That's what they do. No. So the like, again, we have a lot of stuff that we can cover, but guys, I am doing a week, like I'm trying to do a daily Nintendo news video on, and I got my URL finally, youtube.com/N64Josh. So I got the vanity URL. So thanks everybody that's been subscribing and checking them out. I appreciate it. So you will find some of these topics on there as well. The last thing I want to touch on that's not on our thing, and we can just touch on it real quick, but let's talk about the April Fool's joke that went out about the Dreamcast and the Nintendo Switch.
So angry it didn't happen.
So break it down for me, because all I saw was the tweet that you tagged me in, and then I was like, I don't know what, like, I don't, the, I couldn't figure out by the picture. I'm like, what am I seeing? What's the deal here? Break it down.
Basically, if you remember the Dreamcast, the logo for the Dreamcast was like the word Dreamcast, and then it had like this spiral.
Yeah, yep.
Like almost like you took a pencil and just made a spiral, like a circle spiral. Well, someone took the Nintendo Switch logo and replaced where the joysticks on the Joy-Cons would go with those swirls.
Yeah.
And called it the Dream Stream, I believe.
Yeah.
And basically said, hey guys, Dreamcast is coming to the Nintendo Switch.
Even the chat is saying that's so mean.
Oh my gosh, dude. Yeah, so that was the April Fool's joke, and part of me wonders this nowadays with the way that the Deadpool movie got made, where it was like in development hell forever, and then allegedly footage was leaked online.
Yeah.
And people went nuts and were like, this movie has to get made. Otherwise, like, you know, I'm you know,
I can't live.
I don't know. Otherwise, you know, I'm not giving a kitten its wings or something. I don't know. It's just like people went crazy for it. And then clearly there was a demand for it. The movie got made and it was awesome. Part of me wonders if some of these companies aren't like, hey, let's tease this a little bit. See what happens. Let's poke the dog a little. Let's poke the bear. See what happens. Clearly everyone was just like, I would buy like 5 Switches today if the Dreamcast games got, you know, ported over. This also happened. What were we talking about recently where it was like a big time? Oh, the GameCube stuff. People were like, dude, if they brought out GameCube games for this thing, I would buy it tomorrow. Part of me wonders, like, is that like on purpose? Are they kind of just throwing that out there? Like, it's possible. You know, just to see what feedback they get. And then, you know, the internet, I will say this, as much garbage as on the internet is great for instant feedback. Good or bad.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So you were bummed out.
Dreamstream is coming. Dreamstream is coming to the Nintendo Switch, folks. You hear it here last.
Were you sad about it?
A little bit. I died a little bit more inside.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I have no connection to the Dreamcast whatsoever. I didn't even hold a Dreamcast. I didn't even know anybody that owned one. I remember seeing them in stores and was like intrigued by it. But I think I was like, "Hey, mom, do you want to buy this?" And she said no. And then that was
the end of it.
So,
well, see, I never owned one, but you know me, I'm on a scale of. of like Josh to Destinot. I'm clearly on the Sega side of things.
Right.
Yeah, that's actually, besides the handheld, which was Game Gear.
Yeah, which I have.
You have a Game Gear?
Yeah, I have awesome. I have a Sega Genesis with X-Men 2 and Earthworm Jim 2.
Sorry, you got all the sequels.
Yeah, and then I have a Game Gear with Sonic. And maybe some. I should bust that thing out.
Yeah, but that's the only, besides the very first Sega, I didn't own the very first and very last Sega home consoles. Okay. So, yeah. Hey, I'm all for it. We got Neo Geo already. Let's get some Sega in there.
Little TurboGrafx 16.
TurboGrafx 16.
3DO.
Yeah. Oh, 3DO. We'll talk about this another Zelda time. Games. I have 3DO stories. Yeah, a little 3DO, a little CDI. Yeah. Let's make it happen.
Jaguar. Hey, we joke, but the Wii has a lot of those.
Really? Does it have the Zelda CDI games?
No, I'm sorry. It has like TurboGrafx-16 and Neo Geo and stuff, though. Like, it has a good, like, when you go to the virtual console on the Wii, there's a lot of games on there. So
make it happen.
Well, guys, this has been fun. Thank you, everybody in the chat that's been hanging out with us. We could obviously talk for hours and hours about this stuff, but we'll pick it back up again next week. Destinot, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at DestinotTLC. I'm also here, like Josh mentioned earlier. We do two shows on Tuesday. We do a Destiny focused show at 7 p.m. Pacific. And then we do this show, Nintendo PowerCast, at 9 o'clock Pacific. You can also see both shows and me comment if you want to on YouTube. We're also on iTunes, Podbean, Farmers Only.
Yeah, look up Nintendo PowerCast on Farmers Only. See what you find. Do not J-Day. Swipe right.
I swipe up.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. You've been playing Pokemon Go again? Don't lie. Don't lie.
Don't do it.
I play it every day. I don't want to talk about it. Guys, you can find me on Twitter at N64Josh, and you can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/N64Josh. And I recommend turning on the notifications. Mondays is my guaranteed stream night. And other than that, we stream this stuff every Tuesday. Wednesdays is kind of up in the air depending on what I got going. Same with Thursdays. I try to, but I mean, it's late night stuff typically. My Fridays are hopefully going to calm down here soon, and I'll be able to do a little more daytime streaming again. So if you want to come check out some of the streams, just make sure you got the notifications turned on when I go live. The other thing I want to just make sure I mention again is that giveaway for two copies of Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Just go check out the pinned tweet either at NPowerCast or at N64Josh. There you'll find ways to enter to win. There's quite a few ways, so go check that out. And any of the links we mentioned or anything like that, you want to be able to follow us easily, it'll all be in the show notes, which is at thelootcave.com/NPC14. Or if you're listening on your device, you should have all the links right in the description there as well on your phone. So again, everybody in chat, thank you so much. Guys, thank you for hanging with us. And lastly, we can still use a couple more reviews. And we do really, honestly, we want to thank you guys for the reviews. And we made it to the iTunes in Games and Hobbies. We were in the top 150 podcasts. And so that's all because of you guys. So we cannot thank you enough. We're like humbled by that. Like, I was completely shocked when I looked there today and was like, what? We're in the top 150. And so that's literally all because of you guys listening. And so we really cannot thank you enough. We appreciate you, and we'll see you guys next week. Later.